live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Powerade Tidal Burst presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, it's happened, it's over, there's no turning back. Peter Costello has opened his $10 billion cake hole. Mick dives in for a closer look. Dr. Jack Kevorkian, has he gone too far? Either way, it doesn't pay to nod off in his waiting room. Pete Smith will give you an exclusive peek behind the gates of the palatial Smithlands estate on today's program. And pokey machines that accept $20 notes. I bet they're not a rip-off. We'll give them a burl ourselves. As usual, we'll play host to the Radio Gladiators, put the squeeze on, you for more of them true confessions. And joining us live from the Divinals, it's Chrissy Amphlett. Yes, this and more all coming up on the program. We had to have Australia, Martin Malloy. The only thing, that's Brian Adams here at Martin Malloy. Welcome aboard. Is it the midweek edition?
That'll do.
It is indeed. Right around Australia with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who last night visited Bondi in prison and presented him with a cake containing a small, as yet unvalued Picasso, Mick Malloy.
He can do what he likes with it in there, Tone.
Hang on one of your four walls, yeah, buddy.
What a lovely, compassionate gesture of you. But, Mick, what are you doing here? Aren't you supposed to be in Canberra for your budget report?
Oh, no. I'm out of here.
You only got about 10 seconds. You better run fast. Off you go, Mickey. Okay. Take it away. There he goes. All right. Let's cross now, if we can, to Mick Malloy for Focus on Canberra. Thanks very much, the Gracie Pops Ensemble. I believe they've been offered $25 to perform for the Sultan of Brunei this weekend. I'm looking forward to that. Now, last night's budget, it's the talk of the town, and already analysts are pouring over the complex document to see what it really means to the ordinary Australian. Joining us now live on the line from Canberra, with his own expert analysis, is Martin Malloy's economic advisor, Mick Malloy. Mick, are you there?
Hang on a sec, Tone. I just got a stitch.
All right, now, what did you make of the budget, Mick?
Oh, boring as batshit, Tone. Yep. I haven't seen the figures yet, but I'll bet you it was thrashed by Melrose and the ratings.
And what about Costello? How would you rate this? It's his first budget.
Oh, he wouldn't shut up on and on about GDP, inflation,
superannuation, is that it?
That's it, superannuation. Yeah. I mean, come on. I haven't heard anything quite so dry and humorless since Ray Martin hosted the Logies.
Now, did he appear composed to you?
Yeah, he did, Tone, but I think he may have been more nervous than most people suspected.
Why do you say that?
Well, from my position at the back of the room, you could tell quite clearly he'd forgotten to put any pants on.
Really?
Yes, and let me tell you, Tone, it looked no different than it would have from the front, except you couldn't see the lips move.
Now, did it all go pretty much as you expected?
Not at all. In fact, you'd know, Tone, I'd tipped that the Treasurer would kick things off by approaching the microphone in a white suit and going, "Welcome to Fantasy Island."
Yes, you did say that.
Yeah, I got it wrong. I also expected him at some stage to bite the head off a live bat, but that failed to materialise as well. All in all, a very lacklustre performance.
Now, how has the budget been received by the Leader of the Opposition?
Oh, she's not happy at all.
She?
Yeah, sure, Curno. Oh. Very unhappy, Tone. Slash and burn, slash and burn. And that's what she says. The cuts are too deep.
Yeah, Mickey, I don't think she's the leader of the opposition, is she?
Well, who is?
There's another bloke, isn't there? A big guy. You know, often wears a short-sleeved shirt. You see him being interviewed in his garden. Sits opposite John Howard in Parliament.
Oh, hang on. Oh, I think I know who you mean. Looks a bit like a grown-up Pugsley.
Beasley. Yeah, that's it. What did he have to say?
Bugger if I know.
Yeah, he doesn't say too much, does he? Doesn't give too much away.
Not these days, don't. Plays his cards pretty close to his chest.
Now, can Costello learn anything from this for next year's budget?
Next year, I think we'll see the Treasurer come out with a guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe one of those Bob Dylan-style harmonica deals, and possibly even a couple of cymbals strapped to his knees.
Oh, great.
And instead of having the speech prepared, he'll get people in the crowd to chuck ideas at him that he can weave into a song.
Oh, great.
And he just keeps going till Red gongs him.
Fantastic. Mick Malloy, thanks for your time.
You'll have to watch out for that dicky knee too. He can be a handful.
There it is, the Macarena, the dance craze that's sweeping the world. Mickey, welcome back from Canberra.
Hiya, mate.
Are you exhausted? Long trip?
Yeah, no. I've just been doing the Macarena.
Have you really?
Oh, my God. It's so fun, but once you start, you can't stop.
And can you just explain to me one thing, Mickey? Why did you need to go to Canberra to do your budget report?
Because that's where I'm supposed to be filing them from, Tone. Don't you understand? The people here pay me good money. I went to them yesterday in good faith. They said, I need cash. You got to get me to Canberra. I'm covering the budget, damn it. They tune in today and no one ever left. And we're all in a lot of trouble.
Got to do things properly. Now, let's forget the Macarena. Let's talk about the Dr. Jackarena, the dance craze that's sweeping, certain parts of America. Dr. Jack Kevorkian, a.k.a. Dr. Death, is back in the headlines, having just performed his 35th assisted suicide. Yes, in Detroit, Michigan. Does he get something for that? He's hit the big 3-5. Is there a clock? Is there a three-pack? Is there a blazer badge and a tiny presentation coffin? Does the mayor present him with the keys to the cemetery? What happens there?
I don't know.
Does he get to visit the White House? I know he was seen loitering out the front when Reagan was in office. You think as someone who's spearheading a new growth industry, someone who's meeting his quota and raising the bar for his competitors, he'd be up for some kind of Captain of Industry Excellence Medal. You know, he's a pioneer in a very specialised field. You think computers, you think Bill Gates, you think movies, you think Spielberg, you think death, you think Jack Kevorkian. And he's got the market to himself. He's got high brand name awareness. Everyone knows if it's death you're after, you either host a televised Australian awards show or you pop round to Dr. Jack's. Now, until today, I've always been, in two minds about Dr. Jack. I mean, he seems like a nice enough sort of bloke. Sure, there's the Dr. Death thing. There's no escaping that. He's always going to have that no matter what he does. He could open a little haberdashery store and people would still call it Dr. Death's Haberdashery. Would you mind popping into Dr. Death's on your way home, darling, and picking me up a couple of metres of blue polyester? But apart from that, he seems like a nice bloke. He's friendly, well-spoken, surprisingly cheerful kind of guy. He's basically Bob Ansett with casualties, you know? He seems... Oh, and the other thing about him, he does seem to laugh a bit too hard at that Physical commercial.
Do you think?
Yeah, but he seems to mean well. He believes what he's doing is for the good, and maybe it is. But listen to this in today's paper. An autopsy report on his 35th patient, I suppose, was released today. And it seems she wasn't even sick. In fact, the examiner found no sign of illness whatsoever in Nurse Judith Curran, 42, who was merely depressed and overweight. Nurse Curran, I hope it wasn't Dr. Jack's nurse. You know, a bit depressed. You'd want to keep a smile on your dial at all times if you're working down Dr. Jack's surgery. You're looking a bit peaky today, Nurse Jenkins. I'm fine. Honestly, I'm fine. You sure you don't want to? No. I've never felt better. Happy talk. Look, Dr. Jack. I'm dancing for joy. I've never been better. But depressed and overweight. Gee, even Dr. Jack's going to have a hard time getting out of this one. That's a pretty severe weight loss program, that one. I'd tried all the others, Jenny Craig, Gloria Marshall, then I discovered Dr. Kevorkian. See, that's a before and after commercial you don't want to see. Lonely Old Night, that's John Mellencamp here at Martin Molloy. Mickey, have you seen Pete Smith today?
No, I haven't.
He hasn't been in, and we've been running recordings to make up for it. He's not in the booth.
What are we going to do?
He's getting a bit, a bit big for his boots, I reckon, lately. Pete, don't you think he's getting a bit full of himself?
He's been in show business a long time. Yeah. Cut him some slack, don't.
Well, let's call him up and see what the story is. Pass over the phone and we'll call the palatial Smithlands estate. Let's see what's going on there. And I'm a bit worried about him, I have to say. I'd hate to think that he's gone all showbiz. Pete Smith.
Finally.
All right. See what happens.
Hi, you've reached the worldwide headquarters of me. Pete Smith. If you'd like to hear me say sale of the century, press 1. If you'd like to hear me say, you can't buy better than copper art, press 2.
Right.
If you'd like to hear me say, Martin Molloy, the funniest program on radio, you'll be waiting a bloody long time because it ain't gonna happen in this life, pal. If you'd like to hear me bark like a dog, press 3.
Oh, press 3, Tone.
Ruff, ruff.
Okay, that's enough of that.
If you'd like to hear me doing an impression of Mick and Tony's Brown album, press 4.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes, very good.
If you'd like to hear me bouncing on a trampoline with former Prime Minister Paul Keating during an official visit to the lodge in 94, press 5.
Oh, yes, please.
Well, Pete, what do you reckon? Feeling better already?
Well, to tell the truth, Prime Minister, I'm not 100%.
After we've finished here, we can strip off and join Laurie Oakes in the sauna.
Oh, dear.
Oh, quick time.
If you'd like to hear a track off the new Meatloaf album, you probably need a psychiatric evaluation.
All right.
If you'd like to hear Arthur Tunstall being kicked in the pants by a Mallee Bull, get in the queue.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to hear a preview of the entertainment which will be replacing those inflatable kangaroos at the opening of the 2000 Olympics, press 6.
Oh, this should be good.
Your kisses lift me higher.
Like radio. Okay.
If you'd like to hear people calling for the police, press the waiting to cross button at a busy intersection several hundred times while screaming, damn it, Picard, beam me up now, you chrome-dome bastard.
Mm.
If that's baby John Burgess, no. How many times do I have to tell you Glenn is very happy? He has no intention of leaving the show.
Fair enough.
And finally, if you'd like to hear me talking dirty, press 7.
Press 7, Tyne.
It was 7:30 in the morning when I arrived on the set of Sail. There was nobody about. I was completely alone.
Right.
After thinking about it for a moment, I decided, hey, what the hell? It's always been a fantasy of mine.
Mm.
Slowly, I reached up and removed my tie.
Mm.
I threw it casually into the booth, and I left it there all day. Through the warm-ups, the voiceovers, the fame game, everything.
Oh,
no
hey,
tie,
man.
The two that top buttons undone.
Wash your mouth out, Mr. Copperart.
Martin Malloy. Damned if I know what they're on about on the new SAF.
And it'd be China Phillips with Naked and Sacred here at Martin Malloy. We're in the next hour. Chrissy Amphlett's going to be here, Mickey.
Excellent.
How's that going to go? Because I know she loves talking to dorks on the wireless.
Yeah. Well, she's going to love this.
All right. We'll see what happens. Hopefully something controversial. Hopefully something that'll get us into the papers.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Okay. And also, we're going to have Radio Gladiators any moment now. I think we're conducting our own animal hospital today.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. We've got the Harry Cooper hats on already. And True Confessions, of course, in the next hour. Pete Smith, I think... yesterday. I don't want to talk about it. It was just, you know, it was the dark side of Mr. Copperart.
I think that's why he hasn't fronted today. It's all the fallout over his confession.
It was the evil Mr. Copperart. Mm. It was the evil Mr. C.
Yep.
So hopefully he'll be back to normal tomorrow. Also, I just want to talk briefly about gambling because, Mickey, as you know, I'm not a big gambling man.
No, you're not.
I'll occasionally buy a hot dog at one of those stands you see parked outside a nightclub. That's as close as I get to gambling. Don't get me wrong. I love casinos.
Mm.
Not the games, the entertainment. That's
where
I go. I can spend hours just sitting in a joint with a name like the Ace of Clubs on the business end of a dry martini, just enjoying the work of a couple of former Pot of Gold finalists as they negotiate their way through Luck Be a Lady Tonight, Key Largo, or a Casio-toned salsa arrangement of Funky Junkie. But I hadn't realised there's now pokey machines which accept banknotes.
Mm.
Now, everyone might know about this, but I hadn't heard about it. I read in the paper yesterday. As always, Victoria is leading the charge. Victorians, already amongst the world's biggest gamblers, apparently, can now pop down to the Crown Casino, if it hasn't already come to them, and watch the old folding stuff just being sucked out of their hands into one of 30 new paper-compatible pokey machines, which have just been approved by the Gaming Authority. The TAB have begun a six-week trial of the controversial machines themselves, and basically they're on their way to your town. They accept $5, $10 and $20 notes. $20 notes.
They just take them, do they?
Does the word greedy start appearing at this point? I don't know. So you can just stand there going, $20 note. $20 note. New school uniforms for the kids. Payment on the house. Petrol for the car. So it's much more convenient.
Absolutely.
Eventually, you'll just be able to do the whole thing without even visiting the casino. Just have your wages direct credited to Lloyd Williams' bank account. Cut out all that casino nonsense. Just have it done automatically every payday. No more having to find a park or get dressed up. Not that that's really a requirement. I mean, it leaves you more time to contemplate your increasingly uncertain future. Here's an idea. Don't stop at $20 notes. Let's have a pokey machine that actually takes the shirt off your back. What about that? Just put a sleeve in and woof, and your pants, just everything. You come home pissed, broke, and wearing only a pair of socks going, now that's the biggest game in town.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst.
This is Martin Malloy, and this is...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Mick, I know there's been riots in Canberra. I know there's been some kind of budget delivered, but every paper I open has just got a picture of Nelson, the parrot with the broken leg who can't do the bizzo. Polly wants it something bad, apparently, and thanks to a busted leg, ain't able to perform up to scratch. I think we've all heard about this case. We've been steering clear of it because it sounds like a bad jug dumping ground to me.
Sounds like it was put in the paper so we'd go to town on it.
I think so. A vet surgeon accused of breaking the leg of a rare parrot and causing it to lose its ability to mate yesterday denied he had admitted responsibility for the bird's injury. I think the case is continuing, but I think that's the gist of it anyway.
$250,000.
That's how much it's worth.
Well, that's how much he wants from the the writ. $250. That's what he's suing the vet for. I think $250 because he's...
$250,000
because his parrot can't do the bizzo. What, is it some kind of porn star? What's the deal? Has it been voted the sexiest parrot alive or something? Was it supposed to be fathering Madonna's next child? What's the deal? $250,000 smackers, Gracie, are you listening to that? What is it, pregnant with 8 babies? I can't understand.
Yeah.
That can't be to cover medical costs, surely. Do they have private cover at the animal hospital?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Is that an option?
Oh, they will after the budget, I'm sure.
Only the top percentage. Only those animals on 50 grand or more.
That's right. And, of course, they are. How's me going? Yeah, it's $250,000. Is that how much the parrot's worth? Because, you know, I wouldn't put it past them. They're bloody expensive, them valuable rare parrots. Do they have a pokey machine that accepts rare birds at the Crown Casino in Victoria?
Oh, yeah.
They will in about 5 minutes once this... There's a bloody good idea. Get one of them happening. Voomph. Take me parrot. Voomph.
I got a great machine at home, Tone.
Yeah.
It's a shredder.
Oh, really?
And what you do is you get $20 and you just put it in the shredder. It's more fun than going to the actual casino.
Is it doing it at home? Look, you go through your entire wallet. Is that shredder approved by the gaming authority?
I don't know. I think the TAB are getting them installed soon.
But back to the parrot case. I know in a related incident, a man is suing the organisers of the Birdman rally after he broke both his legs and can't perform either. So, you know, it's catching on. What we're talking about today, I think, is you mentioned animal hospital. Let's have ourselves an animal hospital clinic. Mick and myself have absolutely no qualifications in this area. But what we want to do is we want you to call us up. Tell us about unusual behaviour, not necessarily broken leg, can't perform style behaviour from your birds, your animals, your dogs, your cats, your llamas, whatever you got. Just tell us about unusual bits of behaviour. We want to hear about it, and who knows, we might even be able to help you out with some kind of diagnosis. I seriously doubt it, but we'll have a crack. Have you got unusual animal behaviour at your place?
I do, Tane. See what you make of this. Yeah. It's my dog. I've mentioned him before, Barty Boy. Bart, this is very interesting. Every time I go to McDonald's, I buy Bart a cheeseburger.
Do you?
I do indeed.
Do you really?
And you know what? He eats the whole thing except for the pickles.
Really?
Now, can you explain that?
That's a mystery.
It's a mystery, isn't it? Like his owner, I do too. The first thing you do, take the pickles off. Bang, he's snout in, going like the clappers. Yeah. At the end of it, nothing left, 2 pickles.
And I've seen him fall off his chair after 4 bourbon and cakes too, so that's learned behaviour. That's
there
what that
go.
Is. We used to have staying at a place where someone had some kind of bird, some kind of canary, some kind of budgie, something. And you know them cuttlefish that they have? It's like a...
What's a cuttlefish?
It's a bit of rock. It's a white bit of chalky rock that they hang up in the bird cage. We know a lot, don't we? Imagine anyone listening to this with a bird driving. Yeah, it's... What is that, Mr. Martin? No, it's a
fish doing in a bird cage.
Well, it's not actually a fish.
Right.
It's a block of sort of chalk.
and the bird just pecks at it, and apparently it keeps the beak up to the standards required by the bird world. Mm. it's a beak sharpening device. Anyway, bird's been hacking away at the cuttlefish for a while, and someone said, come and have a look at this. And we've gone in, and everyone was looking at it going, you know, it's making a model of itself. It appeared to be sculpting yet another bird out of the cuttlefish. And this went on for about 2 weeks. Mm. And eventually, after 2 weeks, it didn't look like it anymore. Mm. Well, we're getting the neighbours in, going, check it out. It's planning an escape. it's making a double of itself. We'll wake up one morning, there'll be a little paper mache and cuttlefish bird, and it will have vom out the bars.
So it's a cuttlefish.
Yeah, it's a cuttlefish.
And you go out with your beak, and that's what, just to sharpen it.
That's right.
Does Michael Jackson have one of those?
I'm sure
does Michael Jackson have a cuttlefish?
That's what he uses.
He sits there all day, going the peck.
That little temperature-controlled bedroom at his house, all there is behind the metal screen doors is just a cuttlefish.
There
it's just
go.
In there all day, going the peck, getting the nose up to Diana Ross specifications. How did we get here?
I don't know. Are we done? You want any more examples? Yeah, what are we doing?
I think we've proved our credentials. Right. We've demonstrated we have an extensive knowledge of animal behaviour. So call us up with unusual examples of what your animals are getting up to, and we'll try and help out. I think this is a foundation for entertainment of some kind. Do we have a prize? Yes, we've got a pair of cool Bolle Sunnies. Thanks very much, Emma and Gracie, on the backing vocals. And you'll go into the draw for a trip to Falls Creek, where it's just, what you can do is you get two big cuttlefish strapped to your feet and just ski down Falls Creek. They encourage that kind of behaviour up there.
I've never heard of them, but I'm getting one.
So put me down for a cuttlefish. You've heard of cuttlefish, haven't you, Gracie? Everyone has, except Mick Malloy, I think.
All right.
Aren't you feeling good about yourself now?
Oh, I thought I was on the turned on me.
It's cuttlefish only on this program. What about the Nels Lodge and, of course, Winter Haven Ski Hire? They're involved and Qantas are getting you there to Falls Creek. If you come out of the draw, they call us with your unusual animal behaviour. 1-800-657-657. Closer to Free. That's the Bodines here at Martin Malloy. It's Radio Gladiators, where today it's pretty much an episode of Animal Hospital, but without Eden Gahar on the rubber gloves. We want you to tell us about unusual behaviour from your animals, and we're going to try and get to the bottom of it. And how many times do we have to tell you, Robert Downey Jr., we're not interested in imaginary rats on the segment? Do we have anybody on the line who's going to talk sense to us, Mickey?
Yeah, let's start with Steve. How are you, Steve?
I'm good.
That's right. Now, what can we do you for? How can we help you? What's the problem with your pet?
Well, she's a girl, and she's about 4 years old.
What is she?
Some sort of red setter labrador cross thingy, I don't know.
Right.
We got her from the pound.
Mm-hmm.
She's always been really, really protective of my mum.
Right.
And every time my dad goes to kiss my mum, she starts crying and whimpering really, really loud.
Oh, and does your dad start whimpering? How does he take it?
Hey?
Is he okay? Is he cool with it?
Yeah, he yells at the dog, but, like, she goes out of control. She's like, you can hear her three rooms down the thing. She's just like,
oh, so she's screaming. A bit jealous of your dad, you think?
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Is it going to escalate? You don't want, like, you know, cutting the brake cables on the car. You don't want a situation like that. It's a love triangle you've got going in your own house.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
very steamy.
I don't think we can prescribe anything. I don't think we're actually qualified to do that. But thanks, Steve. Jealous dog. All right. Let's see if Tanya can go one better. Are you there, Tanya?
Yes.
And what's going on around at your place, animal-wise?
Well, my mum's got a cat.
Yeah.
And every time she talks to it,
right. The cat climbs the walls.
Yes.
When she what's wrong with the voice? Has your mum got a bad voice or something?
No, she's an animal lover.
Oh, okay.
And she talks to it like she does to a baby.
Right.
And it just goes hysterical and starts climbing the walls.
Climbing the walls. Here's a bit of fun. Take it down to one of those indoor rock climbing centres and get your mum to read a real long book and see how far it gets up. Here's a bit of fun.
It also does backflips as well.
Backflips!
Well, there you go. Enter it in the next Olympics. I don't know. Yes.
And how good is it at wall climbing? Does it just...
It reaches the roof.
Reaches the roof? Can you try, get it to change lobs? Is there a practical use for this at all?
I think so.
All right, climbing the walls. Okay, thanks, Tanya. And, yes, I think we'll move on to Pinky.
Okay. Are you there, Pinky? What you got for us?
What do you got for us? A name Pinky, which has caught our attention, Pinky. What have you got?
I've got a dog, which is sort of like when it's got all its hair, it's like a hairball on steroids.
Right.
what it does is it kind of runs along the wall to scratch itself, I guess, and it starts headbutting it.
Headbutting the wall. Billy Gates style.
Yep, and it barks at its own hair.
Does it just?
Yeah.
Barks at its own hair. I think a lot of cricketers are known to do this from time to time.
I've seen Rod Stewart doing that. No, I have. When it falls down over the front of his face, you just see him going, ruff, ruff, ruff.
And then he goes and drinks out of the toilet. Have we got any practical use for this whatsoever? Ramming the walls. Does it go its own reflection? Like, will it go the mirror?
I don't think it... ever tried that, no.
Maybe we could get you to send your dog around to Tanya's place so he can ram the wall as the cat's trying to climb it. It could be fun for all concerned.
See, all the animals on this segment teamed up for some kind of group demonstration event in tomorrow's program. All right, thanks, Pinky. Have we got Kay with us? Are you there, Kay?
Yeah.
What's happening around at your place with the animals?
Oh, I've got a stealing dog.
A stealing, low-down, dirty mongrel. What's it stealing? Videos? VCRs?
It's stealing. Oh,
cars?
It steals everything. It's stolen stack hats.
All right.
It brings home carpet, pot plants.
Yeah. Anything you can sell? Is this a business venture?
It brings home pairs of shoes. It only brings home pairs, and it only... brings home Nikes, Reeboks.
Does it bring them home in your size? Do you give them to the dog to take back?
My boyfriend's size. It brings home.
Maybe we could send it up to the Cocos Islands to get rid of them thongs that are washing up from Indonesia.
There you go.
Maybe it's some kind of initiation ceremony, like we've been reading about the street gang in Sydney where you have to steal a Honda Civic. Mm. Maybe you've got to steal a stack hat to get into the dog gang down your street.
Sounds like peer group pressure to me.
I
wouldn't be surprised you'll find that, Kay. He's fallen in with a bad bunch.
Well, there you go. There's our first actual diagnosis on the segment so far. Thanks, Kay. Now we've got Andrew. Andrew, what's happening around at your place?
How are you, mate?
Good.
That's good. I've got a cat, mate, the weirdest cat I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Right, now the paper comes in every morning.
Yes.
Chops the paper off, right?
Right.
Throws it at me about me.
Yep.
The cat gets hold of it. Rips it to shreds, and then stands at the door meowing with it.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's halfway to bringing you the paper. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, but it tears it shreds in the first place, just like goes ape on it.
Right, so where are you calling us from, Andrew?
Laverton, mate.
So what paper are we talking, the Melbourne Herald Sun?
Yeah, that's it, yep.
Right, so what doesn't it like in the Herald Sun? Who's that big fat bloke with a red face who's got a sleazy little column in there? Always talking about supermodels. Maybe it's him.
Maybe it's him, yeah.
All right.
He's done you a public service.
Maybe try changing papers. Get something up market like the, Financial
the
Review.
Age? The age.
Okay. Well, get back to us with results on that. A newspaper critic for a cat. Interesting. All right. Thanks, Andrew. Have we got time for one more, mate?
Yeah, Lee, are you there?
Yeah, mate, I'm here.
What you got for us?
Well, about a year ago, I had a bull terrier. I had to put him down because he got a bit vicious. But he used to do an unusual thing. He used to like eating cigarette butts. And I don't mean just like chew on them and spit them out. I mean swallow them whole. Turn the cigarette out if someone threw it on the ground. Stamp it out, swallow it whole. Anyway, one day, that's not the weird bit. The weird bit was one day, my mother, locked the door and she was asleep inside and left the back door open but had the screen door shut.
Right.
And he ripped through the screen door to come inside and ate a whole ashtray full of cigarette butts.
That's a dog that, were it still alive, should be taken straight down to the Quit building, I think. Down to Quit people.
Did he have a favourite brand?
I think Peter Stuyvesant's soft pack was his favourite.
like the pit parcel of the Stuyvos.
Did you ever try the nicotine patches on the dog?
He didn't like the patches.
I'd like to see a bull terrier completely wallpapered with nicotine patches myself.
Anyway, another weird thing that happened was when we took him to the vet.
Yes.
The vet gives him a sedative and then makes him sort of throw up.
Mm. Yeah, does it really?
And the vet was querying us why we feed our dog screen door material.
Oh, dear.
He said nothing about the cigarette butt.
He said, we're trying to get him off the smokes.
Have you tried that, Mickey?
Oh, yeah. I've start the day with a screen door or two, Tone.
All right, a dog that brings up a screen door, that would usually be the winner, but I don't know. Let's go back down the run there. There's quite a few.
You got a favourite? Something that's leaping out at you, Tone? Are we talking cats? Are we talking dogs?
I think the dog that's bringing home the stack hats. I'm going to go for that one.
Right.
I'm not sure if that's the best one, but in the heat of the moment, that's the one I'm biting on. Are you there, Kay? Kay, are you with us?
Kay.
Yeah.
Okay, you're on. You've won the competition.
Yes, I'm afraid so. And your dog will be conducting its illegal activities in a pair of cool ballet sunnies from now on. That could be very handy. And you've gone into the draw for that trip for two to Falls Creek, which we're drawing this Friday.
Great.
You've got your radio on, haven't you? You're hearing everything a second later. All right. Well, thanks for playing along on Radio Gladiators. Thanks to everybody who took part. I don't think we offered any practical advice of any use at all.
Oh, I know, but it was therapy time.
That's how the segment usually works. So we'll have another one tomorrow, probably less animal related. And in the next hour, we'll be back with True Confessions and Chrissy Amphlett.
This is Martin Molloy.
His comments have certainly been unhelpful to the project, and they've set back reconciliation between black and white Australians by 5 years.
Brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst, the ultimate.
And in this hour, the latest contraceptive breakthrough from Martin Molloy Pharmaceuticals, still more True Confessions, and next up, Chrissy Amphlett, will you sign in, please? All thanks to Powerade Tidal Burst. For life here at Martin Molloy, it's the second hour, and let's bring in the guest, shall we, Mickey? Our guest today, her and her band, The Divinyls, are back with Underworld, their first album in quite some time. They're also out on the road with the big Underworld tour, which has been or is going just about bloody everywhere. Let's meet the woman who could kick both our butts with one hand tied behind her back. And hey, maybe if we ask nicely, she'll do just that. It's Christina Amphlett. Christina, thanks for coming in today.
You're very welcome.
Now, we've got to ask you about something. Paul Hester works on this show.
Oh, really?
He said to say hello, and he made some sort of cryptic comment, you owe him something. Do you know what he's talking about there?
Ooh, could be anything.
I see.
I don't know.
Well, he's keen to collect anyway,
is
Christina.
He?
Yes.
We'll discuss that off air. He mentioned a band that you had going with him called, I've written it down, Devoylands.
Oh, really? Oh, gosh, that was a long time ago.
He says it should be kicking on. He wants to get them back together.
All right, okay.
A reunion tour. Any dirt on Paul you want to throw at us? Because we're always looking for information.
I can remember. I think it was a benefit concert. Coke was doing it. Mm. And this was years ago, and I think we were in the same sort of get-together band. Mm. And there was Rob Hurst from Midnight Oil. There was Paul Hester, there was Neil Finn, there was me, there was Mark from Divinyls, and Rick Grossman. Anyway, I turned up in my school uniform, and everybody thought that was just atrocious to turn up in a benefit at a benefit concert.
That's disgusting.
It was. Well, they thought, and I remember walking in the green room, and no one spoke to me. And I'm up one end, and everybody's down the other. I mean, this is a rock and roll concert, and I just turn up doing my thing. But I remember, and then Coke freaked out because they didn't know what I was going to do, and I was legendary for doing spontaneous things.
Yes,
we've all heard about those.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, the rumour went around that I was going to do something. And I didn't know anything. All I did was just be me, turn up. Yeah. And no one spoke to me.
That's right.
And it was like just the worst. It was like kid stuff at school, you know, when you're out the outcast. And I remember that. So I don't know what else happened. I promised him more. And I remember us working together on that. But he was lovely.
All right. Now, we weren't going to mention him, but you've brought him up. The school uniforms, Chrissy, how many have you got? Because we've heard about Angus Young. He goes on tour. He has a semi-trailer with 300.
Does he?
Yeah, 300. And he just decides, oh, I'll wear the, you know, he's got a gold one. He's got special ones for occasions.
Really? He has 300?
He just 300 selects whichever one he's in the mood for.
Gosh. I have about two.
Two? Really? Has he ever asked you to do a duet? Have you ever thought of something like that?
No, he hasn't.
I actually saw you on stage. It would have been the early 80s in New Zealand, believe it or not.
Oh,
and
gosh. Were we supporting Dire Straits?
You beat me to it.
Do you know that night, Mark is standing there playing all of a sudden this huge thong.
Yeah.
It was about a size 15. Came sailing through the air and landed on the end of Mark's guitar.
Is there any way I could get that back? I was at school and I got dragged to a Dire Straits concert. I think I was caught running by the pool and it was detention or Dire Straits. And I went there and you were the support act.
Right.
And there was some kind of incident. I think you might have dived into the audience and started a fight or something.
I think the stage was quite high. I think you're imagining or hoping.
I remember some kind of incident. There was a lot of stuff. There was a lot of thongs flying.
Yeah, there was. There was. Those Maoris have huge feet. Are you from New Zealand?
I am from New Zealand, yes. I'm not a full tribesman at this stage, but I'm hoping.
And is that the most outrageous item ever to be piffed from the auditorium onto the stage area in your time?
No, not at Divinyls shows. There's been a few different things.
Yeah, there's so many stories going around about your on-stage antics. Are they true? Which are the ones you've read and just had a good laugh at?
It's more rumours. I don't think I read about them so much as rumours. And I was going out with this guy, and Michael Hutchins was in the bar, and he went up to this guy, got him in the corner, and said, "Do you know who you're going out with? Do you know what she's done?" I couldn't believe it. I mean, this is a new relationship, right? And he gets this guy in the corner and says, "Do you know all these things she's done?" Right? And, you know, this guy comes back, and he was cool. I mean, I'm still going out with him. Lucky.
Well, maybe you could have a word to Paula Yates and do him a favour. Get on the blower.
I think I might.
In reference to a lot of that on-stage behaviour, do you feel that people have been ripping you off? I look at that Courtney Love, and I'm going, that's Chrissy Amphlett, circa mid-'80s.
Oh, well, look, that's very nice. I mean, everybody's saying that. It's flattering. I mean, you know, I think she's great. And everybody's saying that about everybody. But, I mean, I was doing a lot of things a long time ago. You know, jumping around and jumping off stage and doing all those things. But, you know, it's flattering, people saying all that.
And you just love it on the road? Is that your favourite thing in the world?
I like performing. It is hard because you're travelling and being consistent and you're working in different rooms and, you know, it's a toll. It's not an easy life.
What I like is, at this stage of your career, most people would be on the front of the Woman's Day with a few kiddies or perhaps doing some kind of musical, some kind of Andrew Lloyd Webber. You'd be doing a bit of that. You haven't done that. You've stuck to the
rock
and roll.
Well, I did Blood Brothers about, when was that?
Right.
It wasn't sort of Andrew Lloyd Webber, if you know what I mean.
Yes, we don't want to see you on the roller skates, I don't think.
Oh.
Now, you have got an album out, and I think it's about time we heard a bit of it. Here's the new single off it now on Martin Malloy. Human on the Inside, that's the new single from Divinyls here at
Martin Malloy.
And Christina Amphlett is still with us on the panel. This new album, are you happy with it? It's sounding good. It's not overproduced. That's what I like about it. You can hear you singing.
It's good. It's really recorded from the amplifiers and the performance as opposed to being really processed. Mm. Our last record, when we put it down, it sounded rock and roll when you walked into the control room. But by the time it got through a few mixes and stuff, it got really processed.
Yes.
So this one, we were determined to keep it very raw and natural sounding. So I think we've achieved that. So I'm really happy. I think it's cohesive sounding, considering it's recorded in a lot of different studios, which is quite remarkable.
Yes. You went on a bit of a journey, didn't you? There's parts recorded in America and here.
Yeah, and then we ended up in Australia back recording and... But it's recorded from New York to San Francisco. We actually scrapped the San Francisco stuff because we got there and Metallica were rebuilding the studio next door in this room. We went to the studio because Sly Stone, you know who Sly Stone is, a mentor of everybody, and he had made a lot of his famous records in the studio, so we wanted to go there. But Metallica were rebuilding and we didn't know. There was sawdust everywhere and you'd get in there and you'd be choking.
Hang on, Christina, they hadn't put the sawdust in specifically for you, having heard of some of your stage antics, had they?
This
wasn't just a special effort for the Divinyls.
I don't really know what you mean there.
Well, I don't either, but you know.
I'm just picturing Metallica walking around in hard hats with plans, going, "We want a nice patio out the front."
I know, I mean, you know, anyway, so we left there and we went to LA, you know, when in doubt. So we ended up there and we did some tracks there and then we did some tracks at 301. We did a couple of tracks. Well, we did one in Nashville only because the producer was there, not that we wanted a country sound or anything. Mm. And we did a couple of tracks in New York.
Now, you've got some of your favourite obsessions. Sex Will Keep Us Together is a title that leapt out at me. Have you sent a copy to the Captain and Tennille?
They should get a copy, shouldn't they?
Now, tell us about the cover of the album. What's going on there?
It's sort of one of those things you look at and you imagine, she looks quite tied up there, doesn't she?
Yes. I didn't want to say because it's like one of those psychological
inquiries. I know.
Is it meant to be that or it's probably
I don't know. It's sort of many things. It could be, what are those meatworks in New York where those people, those bodies are found, you know, hanging those torsos and things? Oh, I mean, it's all that sort of stuff, really. It conjures up all that sort of stuff.
Do you find you get a lot of pressure from the record company to do things a certain way? Are you under that kind of pressure? No. I know you've, it's been a long time since we had an album from the Divine.
Well, we're a bit slow.
Yes. Mm. You haven't been in offices having record company executives?
No, we're just a bit slow. Mm. We always have been. We've always been fortunate enough to be able to do things on our time, much to everybody else's horror. Mm. We had a little bit of trouble with the record company, but they all left, the people we were having trouble with, thank God. And the team we've got now are really great.
Right.
Well, there's one person, actually, that was sort of the horror. But he went, and then everything started going okay.
Do you want to say hello to him? He's going out around the whole nation.
Rack off.
Okay. Now, Christina, I'm interested to know, what will you be doing in about 20 years? Do you think you're going to be like some kind of Australian Eartha Kitt? Touring around.
I don't know. I think I'll still be doing something in a performing sense, but it'll change. I think I'll always be singing or performing because I just have always been doing it. So I think I always will.
Have you got any mad schemes? Is there something you just want to do and nobody's given you the chance?
No sort of business. I'm not like that. You know, they sort of, you know, having a pet shop or something like that on the side or...
I'd like to pop down to Christina Ramphlett's Pets Wonderland myself. I think
I've got four dogs. And I've got a horse and I've got two cats.
Wow. Hey, just all in the one house, is it?
Mm. Yeah. It's chaos.
And do you sing to them? Do you ever give try out
well,
your material
actually,
on them?
My mother's staying there looking after them. And when she puts on the records, they all run to the door and they recognise my singing voice.
Right.
Yeah, so it seems they all sit there and she puts on the records and they think I'm home.
And how are they reacting to Underworld? Have they given
it? They love it. They love it.
Four paws up. It's a hit.
Yeah. And what are you doing when you're not doing music?
Nothing. I don't do anything. I just look at the wall.
That's it?
Mm. Yeah, I just relax. And I read Patricia Cornwell novels.
Oh, okay.
And actually, do you ever read them?
No, but my girlfriend
right,
does.
Right, girls like them. And I just finished the last one and there's been a huge void in my life and I'm waiting for the next one to be released in Australia.
Mm. She's involved in some pretty seedy business
in
real life, isn't she?
I know. She's but I... You know, I read crime novels and, I mean, thus, you know, all this underworld business and all that. I'm not right into all that stuff.
Mm.
Read crime and look after my animals and write songs and, you know.
That'll do.
Mm.
Well, all the best of luck with the tour, with the album, with the looking at the walls and with the four dogs.
And thanks for talking to us today, Christina.
Thank you for having me.
Big yours?
Yeah, I've just had enough of this.
Had enough of Madonna. Poor me, another poor man's Chrissy Amphlett.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, get rid of it, Gracie.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
Just give it the flush. We've got a show to get on with. Pete Smith is getting toey.
Don't oversell sell the music on this show, Tony, ever. Can you do that for me?
A little contempt in his voice.
Yeah, get rid of it. Flush it, Gracie.
Oh, I love Madonna. I love her work.
Mm.
I've got a coffee table at home made out of seven copies of that metal book she put out. So I'm an enthusiast.
All right.
Paul Hester's shirt is made out of old copies of the Madonna sex book, I'll have you know. Hey, we've got to thank Chrissy Amphlett for dropping by.
Yep.
And, you know, I thought there could have been trouble. We came close with that sawdust business, but we very carefully changed the subject before there was any incident.
Yeah, oh, no, I think that was handled most diplomatically by all concerned.
All right. And the vinyls are on tour and the Underworld album is out in the shops. That single we played is out in the shops. And also, check them out. Look, I'm just checking it. They're going everywhere.
Mm.
They're playing every individual residence. They're like the census.
So they should.
It's the vinyls coming to your house. Individually, but tomorrow night you can see them. Attention WA listeners in Newman, the McCure Inn. Tomorrow night, then Friday night, the McCure Inn at Port Hedland. And then Saturday night, they're at Karratha, the drive-in theatre. And then playing the rest of WA pretty much alphabetically over the next week. They're going to Broome and they're going to Perth and Albany and everywhere else.
Check them out.
And then throughout September, Queensland, New South Wales, and it's just everywhere.
Mm.
So go out and check out the show. Getting very good reviews so far. But what about this old program? Pete Smith, I know we had some trouble with him earlier, but he's decided to pop in anyway.
Good.
And Pete, what's it time for?
Got something you want to get off your chest? Well, now's your chance, because it's time for Martin Molloy True Confessions. Maybe you've been burning off on the wrong day. Perhaps you've been involved in the shonky purchase of an impressionist masterpiece. Or maybe it's just that you like to strip off and dance suggestively to the Wiggles. Everybody. Everybody has a guilty secret, but only Mick and Tony are giving you the chance to fess up and bag yourself a fabulous prize.
My husband's got this pair of Tracky Dacks that he absolutely loves, and they're so old, they're disgusting, they've got holes in them and everything.
They're just right.
And they've sort of been missing, and he's been asking me, have you seen my Tracky Dacks? And I say, no, I haven't seen them. And if you're listening, Matthew, I threw them out.
Nothing we can say for you, young lady. There is nothing. You will not be saved. Your judgment day will come. You will report to a higher court than this.
I'll bring him a new pair.
That's not the same.
It'll take years.
Three confessors enter the booth, but only one emerges with the George Michael 3.5 pack of CDs and goes into the drawer for a trip for two to the UK to see George Michael live in concert. All thanks to Foxtel's Red Music Television. Okay, lads, let them off the hook.
Thanks very much, Pete Smith and Mickey. I'm excited. Let's get the booth out here now, Gracie. Can we wheel it out? Let's hear it. It's under a bit of strain today. We're stepping inside now. And let's open the slidey door. And can we have a round of applause for today's confessee? It's David Boone. Are you there, Booney?
Yes, mate.
Where exactly are you calling us from?
I'm calling you from Launceston.
What's happening over there?
Mate, it's cold.
Right.
But it's, at least it's not raining today. It's actually quite a nice day.
Well, get out and make the most of it, Booster. Now, just before we get to the confession, has there been any progress with an idea we've been talking about on the show, National David Boone Day?
Well, I'm not too sure about that, mate, but I have been very privileged to have a day down here in Tasmania, November the 14th, which has been named David Boone Day here in Tasmania.
Is that right? And what happens on that day? Does everyone put the mow on?
Oh, I'm not too sure what they do, mate. It would be very nice if they did, but we've got a testimonial cricket match on that day in Launceston, and I just hope that the people come out and watch a great day.
All right, now, what have you got to confess to?
Oh, mate, I've been a very naughty little boy.
What have you done?
Well, actually, I'd like to confess to being a Carlton supporter.
Whoa.
however, my main confession, no, that was just a sideline.
Okay.
Right. When I was a young boy in grade 4 at school, I actually got the cane for sticking one of those old-fashioned compasses up Debbie Nisbet's backside.
No David Boone Day for you.
No. I don't think she's still forgiven me to this day.
And what did she do that prompted such an attack?
Oh, it was just, you know, young kids. We were having a little bit of fun and unfortunately it went a bit too far.
And Boone, did you do it in the same manner Tony Gregg sticks his key into the pitch when he's doing the pitch report?
I don't think it was quite that gentle.
And what about the guy giving you the cane? Was it a nice stroke? Did you approve?
Oh, mate, it was very nice.
Did he roll the wrists?
If I'd have had my leathers on, it would have been even better, but as a young bloke, I wasn't quite into that sort of thing.
Well, we'll be looking forward to that in your next book in more detail, David.
I'm not too sure it's really going to get a run, mate. That's why I'm confessing now.
All right, good on you. Good on you, Boone. Thanks for helping us out today.
No problem, boys.
Now, listeners, it's your chance to do as Boone has done. Call us with your confession, whether it involves sticking something up somebody else's bottom or not. 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst.
I think that tells us it's time for True Confessions here at Martin Malloy. You know how it works, people. David Boone has set the standard. Mm. We've all got the mows on. All of our contestants today have the mows on. Let's step into the booth. Gracie, if we could, in we go. Let's open slidey door number one. Who's in there, Mickey?
It's Michael. How are you, mate?
All right.
All right. Tell us, what do we need to know?
I was about 12 years old when this happened, and me and my wife, about four of us, we were down just after a local footy match in the under-12s.
Mm-hmm.
We're feeling a bit hungry and we had no money between us and we were in Kmart.
Oh,
so we dared each other to steal something. Oh. I ended up being the dairy that got caught. And I grabbed the packet of lollies and shoved them under my shirt. And when I was walking out and the security lady turned around and asked me what I had under my shirt.
Yes.
And she busted me, so I, you know, saw the lollies and all that. She asked me why I did it. And I sort of turned on the waterworks, started bawling and all that. And I just said I was hungry and I ended up getting $5 from her and the manager.
Is that right? You know, you're not a relative of Alan Bond, are you, Michael?
Oh, no, no, no.
Okay, I just don't know why I thought that.
But... Yeah, the tactic is a good one, and it does work. That bloke, he stole a Picasso from the National Museum when he got caught. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't go alone. Turn on the waterworks every time.
Turn into the weeping bloke.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, Michael, does it feel better now to have told the nation?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and just out of interest, what sort of lollies were they?
Oh, those fruity lollies.
Oh, not the jubes.
Oh, yeah.
The jerks, hard or soft?
Oh, soft.
Yeah, yeah.
You knew what you were doing. That wasn't spontaneous. That had been planned.
You want to start with the soft ones, and then that leads on to harder jerks, I find. All right, thanks very much, Michael. Now let's open door number two. Is Tom in there? Are you there, Tom?
How you going, fellas?
Tell us a story.
Oh, mate. I used to work at St. Ignatius College in Sydney.
Yeah.
And I used to drive to work every day along Lane Cove Road.
Yep.
And... one day my car broke down. I'd been late for work about three times this week.
Right.
I thought, God, if I get to work late, that's it, I'm fired.
Yeah.
So I jumped out of the car and I'm hitching along Lane Cove Road, and I walked up to this car that pulled up beside me.
Yep.
And there was this Japanese student in there.
Right.
It was his first time that he was going to the university, and he didn't know the way. So I said, oh, hang on, mate, you know, I'll direct you. I jumped in the car, and he didn't even get a chance to say, oh, you know, oh, okay. So I jumped in the car, and I said, no, go this way, go that way. Meanwhile, he's saying, now, we're going the way to the university. I don't know where to go, you know, first class today.
Yeah.
So I said, yes, mate, yep, no problem, no problem. I directed him to my work about a block away.
Oh,
I jumped out the car, and I said, if you know where... St. Ignatius College is, it's all dead-end areas. And I said to him, I said, now you go down the road down there, 3 kilometres, and on the right-hand side is a big university, big, great big entrance, you can't miss it.
There you go.
Oh,
And it's just as well you weren't planning a holiday to Barbados, that's all I can. You go to the airport, we have to get onto this flight. First class is probably best.
We have to get to uni first, just pull in here, you should have jumped out. Put a load of washing in at the laundromat and gone and done the shopping. You could have got everything done on that day.
Oh, mate, I tell you what, this poor guy, and if he's listening and he knows me, I'm not sorry.
Oh.
He's still probably driving around the back streets of St. Ignatius College.
I can just imagine him going crazy, scratching his head, you know, down to the dead-end street going, maybe I took a wrong turn somewhere.
Yeah, but he probably saved your job, though, didn't he, Tom?
Oh, mate, oh, yeah, for sure, and I'm very thankful for that.
All right, well, good on you. He's done you a good deed.
Oh, he has.
All right, well, thanks, Tom. And finally, with, I'm sure, another act of deception, we've got Andrew. Are you there, Andrew?
Yeah, Andrew's here.
What did you do?
Oh, look, when I was a young fella, I was right into chucking stones, and I've got this brand-new Shanghai, so I ripped out there the front yard, and I've seen the favourite neighbour, Ronald, his name was.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've let fly with this Shang. I've hit him right between the eyes.
Oh, dear.
Anyway,
how far away?
About 60 metres away. Anyway, he's raced off home, gone to his mum. I've thought, oh, geez, what do I do? I've sat in the front garden hiding, shaking my boots, and... anyway, I've heard the mum come out. She's up to the front door and she's going off. My parents are copping it. I'm the worst bloody thing in the world. And anyway, I thought, how on earth am I going to get out of this? So I've waited for her to go. I've taken off up the street. I've ripped my pants. I've stuck mud on the face. I've done a lot. I've come back home, jumped in the door, and just as they're about to jump on me and say, what have you been up to? I've said, geez, I saw this kid off in the distance. He chucked this stone at Ronald and took off, and I took off after him. Got him, beat him up. And not only would I get away with it, but I was the hero.
Oh, no! You twisted the whole thing to your advantage. With rocks falling out of your pockets all the while, I'll bet.
That's it. I've got away with it all my life, actually. So.
And how is Ronald these days?
I'm not sure.
Is he walking a bit funny?
Actually, I heard not long ago he'd got robbed in a restaurant.
Oh,
so he's got a lot of bad luck.
Okay, he's not Ronald McDonald. You're not talking about Ronald McDonald.
Not that one.
In which case, you would be duly applauded for your accuracy.
I have to say, Mickey, I'm getting... I've said this before, but I'm tired of finishing this segment and having to go outside and answer questions from cops. We're going to have to choose one as a winner. Which one is it? Tom with his...
Let's go to Tom. Yeah. Sorry about that, Andrew.
your ingenuity. I'm afraid, Tom, with your Japanese student misconception, you've won!
Oh, terrific. Jeez, I'm very thankful to that guy now.
Yeah, well, exactly. When you see him, maybe you could give him half of your 3.5 pack of CDs.
Well, I'll tell you what, mate, if ever I see him, I will.
Well, and also, you've gone into the draw for a trip for two to the UK to see, amongst others, George Michael, of course, and courtesy of Red Music Television on Foxtel. If you're looking for somebody else to go, maybe you could take him if you win.
I think my wife would have something to say about that.
All right, well, thanks for playing anyway, and we'll be drawing the prize, I think, is it this Friday?
Yeah, let's do it.
It's bloody soon. All right, thanks for taking part, everyone, and it doesn't matter if you get hit by Shanghai, if you get misdirected to a university, if, well, if basically you steal a whole bunch of lollies and get your ass kicked, just remember...
You got to accentuate positive mind, hit the negative and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between.
No, don't mess with Mr. In Between.
Just hang on a second, Mickey. Hang on. Now, this last bit can only be heard by dogs. Just let it go through. I love that bit.
Yes.
All righty, that's Alanis Morissette. You learn here at Martin Molloy, and stay tuned because I know a lot of people have been calling up about some contraceptive devices we were advertising on the program last week. We're going to replay that particular commercial in just a few moments. But while we're talking birth-related topics, congratulations are due to the Marnanes in Queensland. Lewis Marnane and his wife. Lewis called us up it was about months ago, I think.
Yep.
It was quite a while back. And he said, wife's going to give birth.
Mm.
And it's, we need something to help it out. Help it along.
Yeah.
Now, this is a bit unusual. How can we explain the next bit?
Well, it's an unusual request, but we do a segment on our show called Clacker.
We do Clacker from time to time, that's right. It's fairly basic and fairly straightforward.
It involves a lot of bodily eructations, a lot of backdoor action, and there you go. You got the drift.
It's classy, but
very tasteful. Yeah. Did I mention that?
It's top quality British drama. And Lewis has said, look, if you guys could send me a cassette of your Clacker sketches, I want to play them to the wife as she's giving birth because she likes them and it'll help things along. She'll be having a cack as she's producing an infant. Now, sure, it's an unusual request, but we thought, yeah, let's have a bar of that.
Yep.
Apparently they've tried it out, it's worked, and the result is young Darcy William Matthew Marnane of Queensland.
I think you left the clacker out. It's Darcy William Matthew Clacker Marnane.
It's the first clacker-assisted birth. I think we can say that without any fear of contradiction.
Yeah, they're the kind of contractions you don't want in a... operating theatre, is it? Wowee.
And
that's going to be the kid's nickname. You know what that? It's Clacker. From here on in, hey, Clacker!
That is absolutely true, that story. It's an unusual one. I know we have provided a similar service before. We occasionally send Pete Smith out to the delivery rooms and he's just going, Porsche! Porsche! And Pete is available for the gig, so if you want to call him up. We can. I still can't get my head around that actually happened. A clacker-assisted birth, but it did. And congratulations to all involved up in Queensland. Also, thanks to our guests today, Chrissy Amphlett, David Boone and Deb Clark. We'd like to thank all our gladiators and fesser-upperers. Tomorrow, we'll be joined once again by Paul Hester for his Hester Report. And before we go, check this out.
Hey guys, looking for a contraceptive that's effective, sensitive and got a cheeky sense of fun about it? Then get yourself a packet of Martin Molloy Balloon Animal Condoms. The days of fumbling around in the dark like a hapless clown just when things start getting messy are a thing of the past thanks to these little babies, which have turned the awkward and often embarrassing procedure of donning a condom into a show-stopping highlight of even the most steamy of sessions. You'll know when the time is right to impress your lady, not only with your sensible approach to safe sex, but also with the hastily constructed giraffe now clinging to your pecker. Allow me to demonstrate the amazing versatility of this revolutionary new product. Please,
meet my good friend, the billy goat. Or, how about the squirrel to get the juices flowing? And lads, trust me when I tell you, you'll never go home empty-handed once you've gone to work on the sausage dog. Now that's man's best friend. What's that I hear you say? Looks difficult? Well, it's not, because each packet of balloon animal condoms comes complete with easy-to-follow instructions and a complimentary puncture kit. Here's what some of our many satisfied customers have had to say about new balloon animal condoms.
Hi, I'm Dave, and my partner didn't seem overly interested in sex, but when I pulled back the sheets to reveal a meticulously crafted melon head whale, she was putty in my hands. Thanks, Martin Malloy.
G'day. Not only have I had incredible sex every night since using these condoms, I've also managed to win red faces. Thanks, guys.
Lots of guys can make love like a tiger, but look, I can make love with a tiger.
So, for the ultimate contraceptive experience, grab a packet of Martin Malloy balloon animal condoms. They'll bring out the animal in anyone.
Wait! What about protection?
Allow me.
Wow, check out the antlers on that.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst. Pete Smith speaking.